And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning, 2 days before Super Bowl 57. Looking forward to that. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. Dan Rosen from NHL.com will drop by at 7:30, and our weekly visit with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Kind of sad that, you know, there's one football game left.
There's one
football game left for
months.
Yeah, I'm going to count it up now.
Unless you want to get into the USFL. But, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I like that there's an attempt to do spring football. I have a hard time with it.
I do, too. Some people don't.
I love the original USFL, but they were taking players who the NFL wanted.
That is correct. Not necessarily the case this time around.
No, but here and there, someone from the USFL will show out
for
and
sure.
Get a shot.
So for sure.
There is that.
Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. I'm just realizing that yesterday was National Pizza Day, so I will be celebrating that today.
What a missed opportunity.
Remember, what was the quote? Every day is a day.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, we can celebrate it today.
We do need a calendar.
Forgot about that one.
Like, that's more brilliance. Confucius Rex Road. That's a good one. That's a good day.
For sure. You know?
National Pizza Day, cool. National Cake Day, awesome. National Pie Day, great. National, like,
lint in your pocket
day, you know, why do we need that one? I need the full master calendar.
Okay, so today, February 10th, actually is National Umbrella Day. So we will be celebrating National Pizza Day on this program. Not National Umbrella
National,
Day.
National random item that you may use in your life a few times.
I'm on a website called nationaltoday.com. And this is what all of today's holidays apparently are. You ready?
Oh, boy.
All the news that's fit to print day, Children's Hospice Day, Feast of St. Paul's Shipwreck Day, International Cribbage Day, International Winter Bike to Work Out Day, or Winter Bike to Work Day, National Cream Cheese Brownie Day, National Flannel Day, National Home Warranty Day, National Umbrella Day, as Michelle mentioned, National Julio Day, whatever that is, Teddy Day.
Julio Jones?
Maybe. And Welsh Language Music Day. There you go.
So random.
We like all that.
So basically, every single thing in the world will get a day by somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
National Cribbage Day is interesting. You guys ever play cribbage?
No, I've not.
That's a family game that I refuse to learn, but it's kind of a big deal in my family.
Is it really?
Yeah. They get after some cribbage, man.
Hey.
It's
always a day.
That's all I've got. Yeah, yeah.
It's always
every day is a day.
That's right.
Every day is a day. It is true.
The NFL honors taking place last night. Patrick Mahomes winning his second MVP. No surprise there. Offensive Player of the Year goes to Justin Jefferson. Defensive Player of the Year goes to Nick Bosa. And Mike Vrabel, no longer the reigning NFL Coach of the Year. That honor goes to Brian Daboll of the New York Giants. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sauce Gardner. So the Jets looking good there with the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. And the Walter Payton Man of the Year goes to Dak Prescott. I guess for being so generous of giving the football to the other team every time. I don't know. That was uncalled for. I'm sorry.
That's 6 a.m. hour. I feel like what is this? Like the New York, is it New York media dominating? I think it should have been Kenneth Walker and Detroit Lion. And Michigan Wolverine, Aiden Hutchinson. I think those should have been the winners.
Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner's pretty good.
He is good. But Aiden Hutchinson's out here picking off Aaron Rodgers left and right. Come on.
That is true.
I mean, he's pretty good. Kenneth Walker was better than Garrett Wilson. That was dumb.
Pretty good.
Seahawks got screwed.
I agree. Geno Smith, comeback player of the year, by the way. So I forgot to mention that.
Well, there you go. So the Seahawks got something.
Yes, they did. So congratulations.
I thought that could have been Saquon Barkley.
I thought it could be, too. But congratulations to the honors winners last night. Hall of Fame class for 2023, Rondae Barber, Darrell Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Don Coryell, Chuck Howley, Joe Klecko, Ken Riley. There you go. There's your 2023 Hall of Fame class. And I saw there was a tweet last night from Schefter, and I need to go find it again, that was listing like the possibilities in 2024. And some of the names he threw out there, you're like, huh? Really? Like, they could be Hall of Famers in 2024? I need to go find this.
Don Coryell just getting it now really blows my mind. Air Coryell, man.
Yeah.
Air Coryell made football a much, much better thing for a lot of people. With of course, one Dan Fouts at the at the controls. But Don Coryell, man, he should have been in long ago.
I missed this last night, which is interesting to me. It says Eric Bieniemy remains a prime candidate for offensive coordinator jobs with the Washington Commanders and Baltimore Ravens, per sources of Schefter. Interesting.
Well, and there has been some, and I don't remember, as is often the case, I forget who reported this, but that he has been interested in being an OC. I think there's, first of all, there's the play calling aspect
for sure
that we've talked about. You know, when you get the play calling head coach, there's reason, and you're not getting head coaching jobs. You know, I think there's a reason to go be a play caller, but also reporting that he has been interested in being with a defensive team, like a good defense on the other side, which is like, well, I mean, they could have had that here if you were interested, if they were interested. I mean, just because the Titans reached out doesn't necessarily mean the Titans were all in on, you know, trying to hire Eric Bieniemy, but this would have also fit that bill.
Taylor on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, me, turns on 102.5 at 6 a.m. Robbie says a dumb joke about Dak Prescott. Me, goes back to bed. Love you guys. This is from Taylor on the text line.
Cowboys fan?
Look, at least I got it out of the way at 6 o'clock hour. I'm going to have a stupid joke, which one of us is liable to have probably once an hour on this show, this program. At least I got it out of the way early.
I mean, if we're counting up stupid jokes, I dominate, okay?
That could be true. That could be true. Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. We've not really talked a ton about it this week with everything else going on, but it is a couple of days away now. The biggest game of the year in professional sports in this country, the Eagles taking on the Chiefs. It is, I will say this, I'm still going with Philadelphia. I feel good about the way that they've played. I like the strengths of their team. I will say, to Charles Robinson's point yesterday on our show, it does kind of make me a little bit nervous as somebody who's picking Philadelphia in this game, that everyone around the country seems to be picking Philadelphia. I've run into very few, yeah, I think Kansas City's going to win, people that I've seen, which is weird to me.
Well, it's weird to me, too, because, I mean, the line, what's the line right now?
It's like 1.5.
I mean, the money's been on both sides. It's stayed right around there, right? Like, 1.5, 2 points, something like that. And, yeah, but I'm with you, just in terms of hearing people talk about it, and I've been there, too. Like, I like the Eagles. I just think the Eagles are the better team, but... Well, we did have Charles on, and Charles did, in his gravelly voice, tell us that that he liked Mahomes in the matchup. So
he's one of the few, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. You're right. I don't know. I
mean, at least one of the few that I've seen.
Yeah, it's not like I've been out there seeking out every. In fact, I don't know. I'll look at our picks at The Athletic and see how that shade. I think those are out.
They're picking the Colts
at this point. Yeah, exactly. Somehow that genius Chris Ballard is going to find a way to win another Super Bowl for Indy, the city of champions.
Man, I'm spicy this morning.
That was good. That was a good
Dak
joke.
Dak Prescott joke, Colts joke. We can keep going.
The Colts joke was a lot better than the Prescott joke.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll find that because I do kind of have that same feeling that there's a lot more analyst picking of the Eagles. And again, I'm excited for the game.
I am too.
I mean, I guess there's not too many Super Bowls where I'm not excited. You know, like how many Super Bowls are just like, oh, this is awful.
I can tell you heading into it, I was not excited for Rams Patriots whenever that was.
See, I was. The game ended up being horribly boring, but I didn't think it was going to be that boring. I thought that like Brady and that McVay offense would actually like be entertaining, and instead it was just a
well, I thought Brady and the Patriots were going to kill him, which is why I was not excited about
it.
So they didn't do that.
They did make a couple plays.
They did make a couple of plays, but yeah, not a fun game that way. But to your point, most times, especially with the build-up and the lead-up to it, you can find a way to talk yourself into getting excited about pretty much any Super Bowl matchup.
And you know, per my math, we're basically looking at 7 months here, folks. 7 months.
Yeah.
No,
without a football game that actually counts,
right?
You know, I mean, I guess not quite 7 months. You get to the end of August, week zero, college football, but yeah. So savor it, soak it up. Why can't I find our staff picks for this?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Jordan from Franklin on the text line says no Colts slander this morning. I've already upset multiple people on the text line. We're 10 minutes in.
Have they still not hired a freaking head coach?
No, they have not.
You are correct.
Neither is Arizona.
If they, yeah, but no one cares about them. If the Colts, if the Colts end up with Saturday after all this, I think I might actually do like what Jared does and just listen to some indie sports talk that day, you know?
Well,
like,
I think they're going to end up with Saturday after all this.
Oh, man. The meltdown of the fan base is going to be epic if that's the case. Whether they're right or not, they are going to be upset.
Oh, yeah. 615-737-1025. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Super Bowl, the NFL, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into some big news in the college sports world coming up next as well, and we'll take your thoughts on that. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. We all have our systems when we bet, from picking the perfect upset to combing through injury reports the night before the game, maybe some player props, game props that have been successful for you in the past. But there's one thing every bettor should include in their system, and that's the responsible gaming tools that are available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. Tools like time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time on the app than you intended. Wager limits are available as well to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment. So visit FanDuel.com/playwell. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/playwell, and make a responsible gaming tools part of your system as well. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, some news on the college sporting front yesterday. We talked last week. There was a report that came out that the Texas-Oklahoma transition to the SEC as soon as 2024 appeared to be dead, and that it was going to be 2025 before they were in there. And now that it's apparently not the case. Texas and Oklahoma have reached a deal with the Big 12 to leave early in 2024 and join the SEC. So it'll be this year, the final year for Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, and in 2024, that football season, Texas and Oklahoma will join the SEC. So that was announced last night. Greg Sankey and the SEC put out a statement about it last night, essentially welcoming Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC in the year 2024. Look, I thought it was weird from really both sides that they were just going to be kind of left for dead hanging around for the next couple of years and just – the awkward situation that that is. Now, you talked about it, and I think it's a good point. Like, from a Steve Sarkisian standpoint, from a Brent Venables standpoint, like maybe hanging around for a couple of years in the Big 12, not the worst idea when it comes to what the records could look like.
I'll take some awkwardness.
Yeah.
To avoid Bama and company, Georgia.
But doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, 2024, Texas and Oklahoma will officially be joining the Southeastern Conference. Your reaction?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they figured it out. So they're forfeiting a combined $100 million
correct
in revenue distribution. So, yeah, it makes sense. So everything is going to be – this is going to be the last year, and 2024 is going to be the new look of college football. Everything is coming in. You know, as soon as you decide this stuff, I think from the fan perspective, get it going as fast as you can, you know, because people are already talking about it and thinking about it. So I think it's good that they figured it out, and so this, we got one more year of, you know, worrying about the 14 playoff and everything, and then it's a totally new look in 24. A good one, in my opinion. Maybe not in everybody's.
Not in everybody's. That's okay. But there's one line in this that Ross Dellinger put out there at SI.com that I think kind of perfectly sums up where we are right now in college sports. And it says, quote, the agreement in several months of discussions for an early separation and comes just days after negotiation snags seemed to trigger reports of an altogether end to talks, something refuted by or refuted to SI by multiple sources last week. Turns out the parties, specifically networks ESPN and Fox, restarted negotiations soon after the latest hitch and were steered towards a compromise by self-proclaimed dealmaker Brett Yormark, the brash Big 12 commissioner who 7 months into his tenure has scored a lucrative victory for his legacy school. So we knew this was the case anyway, but the two parties involved in this negotiation, ESPN and Fox specifically, finally found a way to came to a deal. It's all about the TV money.
Yep. TV is running the show. So they, and it's, it is absolutely of their benefit to get this going as quickly as possible. And so no big surprise there. So now you get the, you know, when the SEC, you get the how's it going to look? You know, would they come in? Like, are you going to do the, we still don't know. I mean, you know, there's an 8-game schedule with the 1 permanent opponent, and there's the 9-game schedule with the 3 permanent opponents. I guess Sankey had said, like, it, you know, the earliest that they could decide would be, you know, would be right around now. You know, I guess you would think that by like the spring meetings or something, they'd have that figured out. It's kind of an important thing to know.
You would think so. Now, you're about to have Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. It'll make it 16 teams. And I saw a report the other day. I mean, the revenue sharing that the SEC teams are splitting right now is outrageous. It's like $750 million.
Went something. Down, though.
It did go down.
It did go down. It will keep going up. It'll go up.
It'll go up. And now you've got the 16-team part of this with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Obviously, two gigantic brands, specifically in the world of college football. But now, if you're the SEC, you got to figure out, okay, what are you going to do? Now, this is something they've been working on. It's not like Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC is a mystery, but if you absolve the divisions, which is what it sounds like they're going to do, what are you doing? Like, what are your, are you going with the pod system? What does the pod system look like with Texas and Oklahoma coming in there? All those conversations that we had when this news was announced originally, well, now it's real, and if you're the SEC, you got basically a year to get things figured out on that front.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cool, you know, from the fan perspective, and it's cool that, like, you can go now, you can go out to Norman. Now, granted, Tennessee was supposed to go out there with a non-league schedule, and of course that got COVID took away the return trip, right, I believe, to Oklahoma.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, but because that was supposed to be in 20, but you get to go out to Austin for a conference game. Now, the thing is, when you get these leagues so big, there may be years between some matchups, which is kind of, that's why like the pod thing kind of makes sense, but also I'd like to see, you just don't want to see like 7 years between two teams playing each other or whatever it would be, you know, when you do it like that and you kind of have the same group together. I mean, I'd kind of rather just see it randomly, you know,
a rotating pod every year,
kind of, you know. Now look, I think that the protected rivalries is definitely important. I mean, Auburn and Alabama, you know, the Iron Bowl should happen every year. And
agreed.
I think it will. And that's where it's interesting, because there are some of those that you absolutely, to me, need to preserve, and then some, you know, could. It'd be good if you could, but how important is it? I mean, I think Vanderbilt, Tennessee should be preserved. It's an in-state rivalry in the SEC, but it's also, I mean, there's a big difference between the Iron Bowl and Vanderbilt, Tennessee in terms of priority.
I would agree. Now, how much are the geographical, like the in-state rivalries, how much is that going to factor into it? But like, you know, from Alabama's standpoint, somebody, I was talking to an Alabama fan, it's been a few weeks ago, but he was asking me about like the pod system, if it comes into play, what happens? Because he was like, you know, obviously I want the Iron Bowl, but I want Tennessee every year, and I want LSU every year. Like, what do they do? Are they going to get all three of those? I kind of doubt it. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen on that front. But developing a pod system where, number one, you get the rivalries in there that you want to protect, but number two, like, it's also as quote-unquote even as you can make it. I don't know how you do that if you're the SEC. Like, somebody's going to look at their pod and be like, really? I've got Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, huh? That sounds fun. Let's do that.
That's the thing. It's also cyclical. So, well, look, I mean, in the last decade plus, If you were stuck with Tennessee, that's okay. You're feeling fine about it. Moving forward, maybe not so much. You know, if Josh Heupel is going to keep building. So you have the cycles of, you know, of programs. I mean, the Big Ten has been so imbalanced since they went east-west. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's just incredible how much easier it is to get to the title game of that league from the west than it is from the east. And that's
and
where
show up
that's
and
where
just the, get trounced.
Right.
Yeah,
you get crushed by whoever shows up on the other side. I mean, I like, you know, the divisions going away is great. There's just, I mean, there's going to be years where a team gets screwed, you know, and some of it is like, oh, and this is the year that Kentucky's 11-1 or whatever. I honestly just randomly came. I'm not taking shots at Kentucky.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. But, you know,
just so you know,
like you're going to get or you get luck because LSU's down in a particular year. But this is also why, you know, with this and I think with non-league scheduling, as I've said many times, when now that you have more margin for error to get into the playoff, you know, I think that stuff also becomes a little bit less, you know, devastating to your season if you do get screwed with a tough schedule. You know, I mean, you have some margin for error. You can get into the playoff certainly with a loss now in this
league.
For sure. Someone in the text line says pretty soon the SEC will be the only conference worth watching. I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, I think USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, as weird as that is, I mean, there are two leagues that are going to be worth watching. And maybe some around the other ones here and there.
Well, I will say.
There's still Clemson out there, and there's still.
Like, personally, I enjoyed watching the Big 12 this year, and it really had nothing to do with Texas and Oklahoma because they weren't very good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what I just kind of left them for dead when we talked about this, and I don't think that they're going to be consistently, you know, competing for national championships or anything with the schools that they've got left in there. But, you know, TCU was in the national title game this year. It didn't go well for them at all in the national title game this year. But
they did beat the Big Ten team in the playoff.
They beat the Big Ten team in the playoff.
So, yeah. No, it was actually a really good year for the Big 12. So it's just – it's obviously the question of as we move forward over time and there's – you know, a bigger gap between these two leagues and money, which can be used for whatever. I mean, that can be applied to a lot of things.
Yep.
What does that mean over a period of time? I think it means, you know, it's going to be dominated by Big Ten SEC teams. I still don't think I don't think it's going to actually be AFC, NFC, but we'll see.
But
who knows?
I mean, it's been dominated by SEC teams for a long time now, too.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So, like,
yeah, no doubt.
Now, is it going to be a little bit more dominated if you go to the 12-team playoff and now you've got 16 teams in the SEC and you can start listing off the programs that are in there pretty darn good? Yeah, probably. Probably is going to be. But, I mean, it's been dominated by the SEC for a while.
My whole thing is just let's get these at campus sites because I am all the way here for some of these. You go back through the years and, like, this is what it would be. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, that. Alabama team going to Columbus. Oh, yes. You know, that's what's got to happen. The bowl involvement and insistence on, you know, having all these games at neutral sites is so ridiculous and so not – it makes worse games, and it's obviously worse for fans and costs them a whole lot more money.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know.
615-73.
You know, there's some stuff up in the air with that.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC in 2024. Coming up next, take your thoughts on where we're headed in college sports as a whole. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Later today, tune in for Stillman & Company live from Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Looking forward to that coming up later today. He had Pac-Man Jones on the show yesterday. Interesting interview there. If you missed that, check that out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I gotta check it out.
talked about some dining experiences and maybe where to find them in Atlanta. So that's good stuff.
Well, I've heard those wings are good.
They're good, too.
You know, I just retweeted the pod of I caught Stackhouse with Caroline Willie DeMace, and it was really good. Great stuff. Really interesting. Check it out.
Yep, absolutely. Jordan from Franklin on the text line discussing the state of college football and the state of college sports as a whole with Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC in 2024. Jordan from Franklin on text line asking, would the A&M and Texas game come back? Would that be a part of the pods? I would think, I mean, that makes some sense. I'm assuming that Texas and Oklahoma are going to be in the same pod when they come in. I mean, that would make sense, the Red River rivalry. Will A&M be in one with them? I think geographically it makes sense. With some history, it makes some sense. But, like, that's the thing. Like, who's Missouri going to be in a pod with? Who's South Carolina going to be in a pod with? You know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, going up and down the list. Like, how do you do all that if you're the SEC? I don't know.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jordan, if you're saying, like, I mean, it'll definitely, like, it'll be played. Yeah,
for sure.
The question is, and it's so funny because they, you know, they hate each other, got away from each other, and now they're reunited. Has anybody seen the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
I can't say that I have.
Well, it's a Burt Reynolds special from the early 80s. Yes, I know, Michelle, you're like, wait, that's a real title of a movie? Now, I wouldn't expect – I honestly wouldn't expect you to have seen that movie. I did see it, but that's – I mean, it's about the Texas A&M game every year and what happens when the winner wins the Texas and Texas A&M game.
There you go.
So, I'm telling you, Burt – I mean, this is in the 1980s. Burt Reynolds. I think Dolly Parton, right?
I'm pretty sure.
I haven't seen it. Not sure.
Okay. Anyway, that was in the early 80s when that game was probably considered as big a game as there was. I mean, you know, that was Nebraska, Oklahoma, yep. Texas, Texas A&M, obviously Auburn, Alabama. I mean, to me, if I'm the SEC, I want that annually, but it's not as big as Texas, Oklahoma annually. I mean, the Red River Rivalry has to be
maintained.
Yeah. I mean, protected. Whatever they do with pods, you could not do pods and still protect rivalries.
For sure. Know? Yeah.
So, but no, that's a great question, Jordan. Not a great movie.
Thank you. Liam on the text line says, I hope we someday go back to regional conferences and just separate out a football super league. This is from Liam on the text line.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't anticipate now that they've done all this, though, with the money that it's going to generate. I don't know that I anticipate them going backwards and putting it back to regional conferences.
Yeah.
I think what you should be worried about is, like, how much bigger is it going to get? Like, is the SEC going to be a 24-team conference in 15 years? I have no idea. But I'm not going to take it off the table with the way things have gone lately.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it's like, gee, we're really splitting this money up among a lot of people, yeah. You know? Yeah, a lot of mouths to feed. The idea that geography and common sense is going to, like, come back into the equation, I wouldn't hold your breath on that. Matt in Hoptown says, love that movie. And yes, it was Dolly Parton.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. So we're getting, you know, more and more information coming out on a weekly basis now. We know that Texas and Oklahoma is coming to the SEC in 2024. We've seen for over a year now NIL and the impact that that's had on college sports, college football, college basketball, whatever you want to take it. Overall, Joe, your state of the union on where we are right now in college sports, what you've seen over the past couple of years, what you like, what you dislike, and where you think we could be headed.
Well, the expansion, the realignment stuff is extremely, to me, I hate it because, you know, I just, look, I like tradition. I think that's one great thing about college sports. Now, where you and I differ, of course, is on the playoff format. Like, I think once you go to any sort of playoff, then okay, then that's what it is. And one thing that I think we've learned over the years is that just becomes the complete dominant discussion of the sport, you know? So I like it. I like having more opportunity for people. And I think that, you know, like we're going to have some good games. We did, actually, two of the three games in the four team this year were awesome. So, but that's not every year. In some years, we don't get any good ones, or we get one kind of good one. With the new playoff, we're going to get some really good games. And again, the games at home sites, however they set up, there will be some home sites. Right now, the way it's set up would be so dumb because then you'd, go from home weekends to neutral weekends. And I mean, it's ridiculous. But anyway, you're going to have some home site games. I think that's going to be fantastic. But the realignment is just I hate it. We go all the way back to just – I mean, again, go back to the Big Ten back when Jim Delaney thought that, you know, cable subscriber numbers was what was going to be everything, and they go get Rutgers. I mean, what?
All New York market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they'd probably ask for a do-over now if they could. So you just have these weird – conferences. To me, you can have the expanded playoff and you can do a lot of these things and, you know, name, image, likeness and all that stuff. And I know a lot of people are worried about that, but I think most of the complaining about that still is coaches. And you know what? It does make their jobs harder. And you know what? I'm not shedding a tear for that. You're all in the same situation. It's like people complain about the weather in a game. The other team played in the same weather, man. So, you know, it's kind of a mess, but the whole thing with guardrails and everything, to me, I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, you're still talking about trying to get congressional involvement here, hoping somebody bails you out. You screwed up, you being, you know, the NCAA, which, again, is the schools, and not being forward thinking about this and trying to, you know, prepare for it. And so I just don't see how you put the genie back in the bottle. So that's going to be an ongoing and, to me, very – annoying discussion, but money has been driving this sport for a long, long time, and it's just going to some different people now.
Well, there's all that that's with it, and then you've got the Jaden Rashada stuff in Florida, where he's promised $13 million of NIL money, reportedly, in his recruitment process. I think quickly finds out once he gets there that ain't happening, and then says, you know what, I'm out of here. Like, how much of, you know, we talked about that when the NIL stuff started of, all right, how many of these coaches / teams / you know, if it's not them directly, the collectives are going to be making promises with their mouths that they can't cash.
Yeah.
And we've already seen one example in Florida that's generating a lot of attention right now.
An extreme example, and that is, if anybody, check out the story that Stuart Mandel and Annie Staples wrote about him. It's incredible. It's like $9.5 million for Miami and $13.5 million for Florida and the contract and everything. And then it's just all, it's no, I mean, there's a lot of
He's
stuff.
A four-star quarterback.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, it's, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have these battles for a particular player and that's what happens, right? Like the price gets driven up, but then, did he, from all we can tell here, get hosed on this thing. So, yeah, look, I mean, it's all that stuff. Go to Knoxville. I mean, Nico here is a guy who, you know, I mean, it's a pretty well-reported situation with NIL with him. And then you have the case of, like, okay, so what if he isn't good enough? What if he doesn't play? You know, there's so much there's going to be some messy situations with this. There's no doubt about it. But, again, it's like – I mean, what are you going to do? Like, what's going to – I mean, basically, you just have to have – I mean, to me, the more that this stuff can be in the light and sort of treated like professional sports, because really that's what it is, I think the better it is and the less chance of completely ridiculous situations like Rashad is happening, you know? I mean, I am in favor of this stuff being, like, publicly reported. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want my people to know what my kid is getting. But I also think there's some protection there, you know, just like in pro sports. We know the contract numbers.
Exactly. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on the text line, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do have a word for from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, which, of course, is America's number one sportsbook. And I don't know if you guys have heard, but we got Super Bowl 57 coming up here on Sunday, folks. So this is a great opportunity to get in on FanDuel Sportsbook. Basically, what you've got here, you know, you've got an opportunity to download FanDuel and use the promo code Joe102. So you can bet this and you get up $3,000 back in bonus bets if that first bet doesn't win. Of course, you can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads. You can bet on a player prop, but you can combine them for a same game parlay, and you can make more money that way. I'm going to stick with what I've been saying all week on the same game parlay for the Super Bowl, although you are talking me a little bit into the Chiefs. But I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts has a big day on the ground, and Patrick Mahomes throws for a lot of yards as the Chiefs are trying to come back in that game. That's how I see it working out. Just do whatever you want to do on a top-rated sportsbook app. Safe, secure, easy to use, and you get paid instantly. Again, promo code Joe102, claim that no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. And then you can make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First on the room, any wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued is now withdrawable. Bonus bets expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your this week's edition of the best and worst things in sports.
I'm going to keep it hyper-local. This time I'm not going to do like the best, but also the worst. I'm going to do two separate things, but hyper-local.
It's a big day.
Best is very easy. Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Such an awesome game. It was just and I wish that every seat was filled in that place, but if you have more performances like that, you're gonna eventually get it back to that. That was Jerry Stackhouse used the term Memorial Magic. That's the most magical I've seen that place in a win since Bryce Drew's first year when they beat Florida as they were making a late run that season to the NCAA tournament. And the most, you know, electric since Tennessee beat Vanderbilt in 2019 with that great Grant Williams team in an overtime game. But that was special. I mean, Tyron Lawrence, that shot is going to be remembered. You know, that's just the play, just the reaction, the whole thing from every angle. The only issue I have is I've now gone back and watched everything. And, like, no camera got a glimpse of Stackhouse jumping around and stuff. Like, they got none of it. I saw it in real time. I'm like, oh, my God, look at Stackhouse, and he's hugging Liam Robbins. Ah, you know, from the crow's nest a mile away. That's a big fail. But other than that, you can't complain about any of that. It was fantastic. And my worst is the Preds coming back from their break and just straight doo-doo. Just straight doo-doo. And it's just, you know, it's just, there's just no excuse, and it's just the same stuff with, and I know we're going to talk about this next hour, but it's just the same old story here with these guys.
Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best thing in sports this week actually was last night at the NFL Honors. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it, but they brought up on the stage all of the doctors from Cincinnati, or the medical staff from the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills, and then also the University of Cincinnati medical staff. And then DeMar Hamlin came out and said some words. And it was just, I just thought it was like a beautiful thing that the NFL did. They honored all of these doctors. We all know the incident. We all know the story. So I just thought it was a great moment of them bringing them all up there. And then DeMar Hamlin had a great speech as well. So that's my best thing in sports. My worst thing in sports this week, I don't know if you all saw this, Joe. I know how you feel about Gino Auriemma, but after South Carolina beat them 81-77, this was last weekend.
I know where you're going.
Basically, in his post-game press conference, this is, I'll quote, he said, one of my guards had bruises on her body, and that is the way the team defends her. That's not basketball anymore. So just throwing shots at South Carolina as if this isn't a physical game. And shout out to Dawn Staley, because she just said her piece and was like, you know what? I've always said that UConn is the standard, and I never said anything for years when they continuously just beat everybody. And basically, Gino just looks like a sore loser. and you are not the only team in women's college basketball anymore, and other programs are emerging, which is amazing for the sport. So I saw that comment and I just thought, you're a sore loser, but good for Dawn Staley standing up and just being like, hey, yeah, we're one of the best programs in the country right now, and get over it. You were for so many years. So I mean, that's my worst in sports.
That's a great worst. I watched that whole game Sunday. I mean, it was a
great game.
It was a basketball game. I mean, are you kidding me? What were they doing?
Well, he looks like a sore loser because he's a crybaby. He is a sore loser.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. And look, South Carolina, South Carolina is the big dog now.
Also,
that's
you're going to get bruises. You're playing a college basketball. Yeah. Like, get over it.
Was that
it's
his
fine.
Attempt to, like, get the officials' attention or something? Like, after the games, like, hey, my players got bruises all over. Okay.
Also, the comment in when they played Tennessee. Like, get over it, Gino.
Yeah, it's that's a very good worst.
We're all three fans of Gino Auriemma on this program.
Great coach.
He is a great coach. All right, my best in sports. Two-part. Number one, LeBron James setting the all-time scoring record. You know, I talked about it a couple weeks ago when he was getting closer, but just the way that he's playing at his age is borderline unbelievable, what we're seeing him do out there in his 20th year in the NBA. So pretty good stuff from LeBron James setting the all-time scoring record, and I think he's going to play long enough to where he's going to make it very difficult to catch him in the all-time scoring record. We thought Kareem's record may be untouchable, and LeBron's record, when he's all said and done, might be pretty close to it as well. So we'll see what happens on that front. My other best in sports also is in the NBA. The NBA trade deadline is pretty awesome, I will say. Like, it's just, I love how the Brooklyn Nets specifically just went all in a couple of years ago. We're getting Kevin Durant. We're getting Kyrie Irving. They played a grand total of 74 games together, never sniffed an NBA championship. And then Kyrie last week says, you know what? I just don't think I want to be here anymore. All of a sudden, he's gone in Dallas, and Kevin Durant looks around and says, man, well, this team sucks now. Get me out of here. And now he's in Phoenix. So I enjoy the NBA trade deadline. I don't know that I always enjoy, like, just how much control the players have, but it does make it fun come deadline time, because when they think that they don't have a chance to win, man, do they get out of there in a hurry. Like, yeah, just send me on somewhere. We'll see you.
I'm going to have more on this later.
Oh, good.
Well, if you throw in Harden, right, is it 20 games?
Yeah.
I think the number is 20, yeah. Right? That those three actually played together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for my favorite Nets fan, Mitch Light, who's been a Nets fan going back to the 70s.
Yeah.
And he was so excited the last few years about the Nets. Sorry, Mitch, but I have to say it's kind of enjoyable too.
It's pretty funny, I will say. It's pretty funny. And my worst thing in sports, and this is a conversation that I think I've probably brought up a few times over the course of the past couple of years, but I was reminded of it again this past weekend. The NHL All-Star Game taking place, and we've talked about the game itself and the Pro Bowl. I think we've kind of set our piece on All-Star Games and all that stuff. But I'm watching, like, Connor McDavid and Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon and some of these guys be interviewed at the All-Star Game, and it's just like, man, I've seen all of those guys, like, away from the camera, off the ice. They're fun. Like, they got some good personalities. It's fun. Like, some of the Predators, all away from the camera, great personalities. The NHL, for whatever reason, like, some of the faces of the game are just the most boring individuals imaginable when it comes to when the camera's in front of their face. And, like, I get it to some degree. Like, you don't want to put yourself out there and then be criticized for things you might say or do. I get all that. But, like, Connor McDavid, I think, might be the best player in the world at his sport of any sport in the world right now. Like, I think he might be the best athlete in the world right now. And you watch him get interviewed and you're like, man, that's like talking to a wood door. Like, it's unbelievable. And the NHL, they've always had a problem, like, personalities-wise, like, marketing the game. I don't think the NHL, from a national perspective, is ever going to be, obviously, the NFL or maybe even the NBA. But, good Lord, it would help if, like, your stars could actually have some personality out there. That'd be great.
Well, yeah, and so, in some cases, it's some people just don't like doing it, right?
Of course.
In any sport. Yes. But also, and we've talked about this, but there is the culture in the NHL, which to me is like, I get it, okay? In all these sports,
the team's
it's important.
First.
Right. again, the story I've relayed, the Scotty Bowman shaming Brendan Shanahan for like just like doing an interview, like doing an interview with a writer for a story, you know, for a comic he's writing about him, and Scotty Bowman like, yeah, you know, I'll like, come on. But that is like what you're battling, you know, this idea of do not put yourself out there ever. And it's like it's there's some things about hockey that can be updated and modernized a little bit here.
You would hope. 615-737-1025. This has been the best and worst things in sports. Coming up next, speaking of hockey, we'll get into a Predators discussion. Some interesting comments from John Hines yesterday on our show that we'll unpack coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.